This is Ground Attack with Eric Burton. Powerful insight into revival, the church, and the deep mysteries of God. If you're through with status quo Christianity, you've come to the right place. Warning! This podcast will challenge religious demons. Find us on the web at gbreaker.org. Now, here's your host, the president of Groundbreaker International, Eric Burton.
Welcome back to Ground Attack. It's always good to be back with you, whether on YouTube or on our podcast channel. It's always great to be here. And today I'm especially excited because I've got a really great friend of mine, one of my spiritual mentors and also one of my very good friends all the way from New Zealand. He lives in the Lower Hutt, New Zealand. If there is anyone that is a true prophet, this man would be one of them. I would call him that. You know, he's not going to hand you a business card and tell you he's a prophet, but I can tell you right now that his accuracy is extremely high. I've never seen him get off track concerning the things of God. So today I want you to welcome with me my good friend, Graham Renoff. How are you doing, Graham?
I'm great. Thanks, Eric. It's great to be with you guys and with your listeners.
Listen, today, the first thing that I want to get into you with is what I'm advertising here, which is some prophetic concerning the United States. And if you have anything beyond the United States as well, but people want to know what's going on right now. One of the most searched things on YouTube and on, you know, any kind of social media is concerning the prophetic. And it's because people generally want to know what God is speaking. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of times people don't hear God for themselves anymore. They want a prophet or they want a man, somebody to speak for them, which is of course not right. You might get into some of that. You might not, but by the way, Graham is not religious at all. He's one of the most unreligious guys that you will ever meet. And, but Graham, I want you to share with everyone for just a few moments here what you're sensing.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, the bottom line for me at the moment is that I believe that there's a prophetic destiny on the United States of America, just like there is in my own nation, New Zealand. And God's plan is to actually raise that nation back. America is one of the few nations, it's the only nation that when it goes in and helps somebody, whether it's, you know, a war effort or whatever, they don't take over. They actually pull out and they want to establish a democratic society. You know, they help the nation to establish what that nation was called to be and called to do. You know, there's always been that thing about the states. And right now, the United States is at, I believe, at a crossroads. The Church of the United States of America is at a crossroads. If you look back over the last 2 to 3 years, there's, you know, there was a lot of stuff that, a lot of noise out there and so-called prophetic noise, both in the church and out of the church, especially leading up to the election of the last president and then this last elections. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of prophetic voices that have been made a fool of. And I'm a great believer that if we're going higher up the mountain, if we're going to where God wants us to be as individuals and as a nation, then we have to deal with the rubbish that stops us from going there. And one of the things that I see prophetically is that right now there is a lack of accountability in the body of Christ. There's a lack of repentance. There's a lack of willingness to say, hey, I screwed up. I got that wrong. And I need to put it right with God, because those that want to go higher up the mountain, it comes out of a clean heart and pure hands. And there's too much. You know, we had a great opportunity when COVID hit the nations. The buzzword was reset. for most of the body of Christ, it's not been a reset. They've gone back to business as usual. But there is a remnant that has stayed faithful, and they're trying to walk with God relationally and allow him to position themselves for what God is wanting to do in a nation.
That is absolutely spot on, I believe, because for those who watch our YouTube channel and probably listen to our podcast as well, you'll know how much that we talk about the remnant that's rising up and how there's two different churches right now. There's a true church and a false church. That's just what I've particularly categorized them as, is there's one side that's the actual true church, the ones who are truly listening to the voice of the Lord, who are trying to get out of the religious boxes of this is the way things have always been, even though they're not biblical.
Yeah.
There's so much unbiblical garbage out there that that people just keep focusing on this stuff that's not even in the Bible. Yeah. It's just traditions of men. And, and even aside from that, things like sin within the body of Christ, sin within the false church, and calling sin okay, things like that, that's separating us. And so, but I believe that there is a true remnant, as you said, that is rising up and taking their place. Talk to me about the remnant for a moment. What do they look like? Who are these people? Because a lot of people ask me, am I part of the remnant? I'm like, I don't know. Are you? I can't answer that for you.
No, I don't think anyone can answer that for anybody else. For me, the remnant, some of what the remnant looks like is that they've stayed the course and they're not prepared to compromise. They are seeing God continuing to move while they may not be seeing him at the heightened levels of the hottest part of outpouring and revivals in the past. They have remained faithful to asking God to teach them to walk by the Spirit and not by the soul. They've been willing to change the things that God has been asking them to change. They've stopped functioning. One of the things that marks a remnant, and to my way of thinking, is a people that is willing to allow God to change them into the vessels that he needs for him to come and habitate. And one of the things that is very evident is habitation. I just had a report back just yesterday from one of the guys in the States. They had their normal pre-service meeting. They didn't get out of their meeting until 8:30.
Wow.
And the service should have started. And it's very easy to see the remnant because God shows up and then they've got to follow God and whatever he does. The program isn't what's going to happen.
Come on, say that.
If God turns up, the program goes out the window. And there's a willingness to allow God to be God. They don't put the Holy Spirit in a little box in the back room. They don't put limitations of time. They're there to encounter God. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of the remnant. And you'll see also there's a lot of stuff you won't see about the remnant, but when you meet them, listen to the conversation. You'll notice that they're pushing into God in the secret place. You'll notice that they're wanting to push into God relationally. They don't want to do the same old that they've always done. It's not about learned behavior. There's a switch to relationship. And I think that you meet them everywhere, and it becomes very evident as you get into conversations with them, because out of the heart speak the issues of life. And it's not a judgment thing. It's just a discernment thing. And they're fanning the fire. They're not chasing a ministry. They're not trying to grow a church. They're trying to be part of what God is wanting to do to expand the kingdom. You know, I know that there's some bad things coming. It's the end times. But I tell you what, the darker it gets, the brighter the glory gets. But in order for you and I to carry the glory in that way that everybody sees, not me, but sees Christ, requires cleanness of heart and purity of hands, purity of motive. You know, there's still a lot of me and my ministry being chased in the body of Christ right now.
Come on. Yeah.
What part of kingdom?
Talk about that.
It's just not part of kingdom. And you've got guys that have taken offense that won't put it right. You've got leadership that have crippled their churches out of poor pastoral oversight and poor leadership, and they just continue to do what they've always done. You know, the gifts are without repentance. So don't be fooled by somebody that flows in the gifts. Have a look to see what fruit they produce. And if they've wrecked their church, then you've got to start asking the hard questions, because God wants to clean this stuff up.
You know, fruit is a word that the Lord has been speaking to me often over the past 2 weeks. It's the word fruit. And something that the Lord has been speaking to me is, you know, going after fruit, and going after fruit in which people can relate to or people can see. So there's several different types of fruit. When we talk about fruit, you know, we can be talking about signs, wonders, and miracles following. We could be talking about salvations and healings and things like that. But we can also talk about, sorry, go ahead.
What you're talking about is character. That's what we don't talk about.
Come on.
That's the fruit, isn't it? That's where you're going, isn't it?
There's character. There's character fruit, and then there's also fruit of the actual ministry that's causing a transformation in a place.
Amen.
Per se, a lot of churches that we go into, it's been a main goal not just to go in and preach a sermon or to get a few people healed or whatever. Which all those things are great.
But
The real rich fruit is to see a region unlocked or to see a group of people unlocked. And so for those of you who don't know, I've been going, and this is not about me, I'm just giving an example, okay, of something that's happened recently. I've been going into a small town in rural Indiana for about 4 or 5 years now, working on it, Petersburg, Indiana. And just to a couple of smaller churches there, really been hammering away. Why in the world would God continually send me to a little remote town in southern Indiana? I mean, who cares, right? I mean, but here's the thing. Over the last several years, I've seen that whole region come up to where now we've got several churches are involved, and they're not just coming together to eat dinners. And they're not just coming together to pass the time or to boast about their ministries and how great they are. They're now coming together and getting in the glory of God together to reach the community together. Yeah. And so, you know, that to me is fruit. It may not be an instant thing that you see, but it is hopefully a lasting fruit. So there's all types of different fruit when we say the word fruit. You know, but the Bible says that in the book of Genesis, that when God created, that he created things that they would reproduce fruit after their own seed, after their own kind.
I mean.
And so if you don't have something on the inside of you, how can you reproduce something that you don't have?
I believe, you know, we were talking about the nation, and I believe that there is a window of opportunity still open to the church, and you can take this broader than just the States, but let's just talk about the States. God is wanting his people to be positioned, and it's got to be very – one of the things that is lacking is the engine room in a lot of churches, which is prayer. And it's not that we've got to, it's not the learned prayer meetings that we've had in the past. You know, there's a few pre-service prayer meetings that I love, and your nation that I've had the privilege of being part of. It's we need to learn how to pray and cry out to God, not for our personal shopping lists, not for our political preferences, not for what we think God should be doing. We need to stand in the gap and repent. We need vicarious praying. Jesus was a vicarious sacrifice. And if you go back and you have a look at revival history, you will find this thread of this type of prayer running through before God moved. And it's going to be really important that people get off their political stools and thrones in this coming couple of years and begin to learn to cry out to God in a way that heaven hears. Because otherwise we've got to go around the mountain again as a nation, and you've got to have another 4 years of nothing. God doesn't want that. But the key is seeking his face, both individually in the secret place without an agenda, seeking his face, as churches without an agenda, seeking his face, being prepared to abandon ourselves and allowing God to position ourselves so that we can be fit for his purposes, fit for his service.
So, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, I'm trying to get clarification so people understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that if you will focus on God and what he wants and not who is in political office, you're not saying who is going to be sitting in the White House per se, but what you're saying is that what we've got going on, right? Like it's very obvious to see what is going on in American politics right now is corrupt on both sides, because I've got friends in political office and familiar with both sides. It's not just one side.
No.
There are very few, and trying not to get real political here, but there are very few that actually are trying to uproot, and I'm talking about politicians that want to uproot the corruption, that want to see that. What you want to see out there is what they want to see, but there's just a very small handful that actually want to do that.
You
go ahead.
Cannot legislate a change of heart in a nation. It's the heart of God that changes the nation, and we need God to come and heal our land. We need our God, because it's not, you know, it's not done through the political arena. It's done when, you know, God answers a genuine cry of the heart, a genuine cry of repentance. You know, what is it, 2 Chronicles 14:7 or 7:14? You know the scripture, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we repent, if we have a change of heart, God will come and heal our land. That's what we're asking him to do. And it starts, you know, you change the world one person at a time. And I believe that there are unresolved issues in the body of Christ that God is wanting the people that are involved in those issues to actually put it right. You know, you've got guys gathering in conferences and that put on a public face, but in the place where they can't be seen, it's a different story. The divorce rate in the church is just as high as the world. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think God's going to want that? You know what about the broken relationships in ministry? You know, because you got knickers in a twist because you took offense at something. And when you're in the public eye, you pretend everything's all right in those relationships. And yet when you're out of the public eye, you have nothing to do with the person that offended you. I mean, those are the things that are blocked. You know, let's get real here. They're the things that are blocking the drain pipe.
Yeah.
You know, wrong discernment. As leaders, sometimes, you know, I've had to repent. I've been involved with leadership in churches, and some of the things that I got wrong, I've had to repent. I've had to go and put them right because I got it right. It wasn't discernment. It was the soulical opinion of what I thought I saw.
And, you know, some of that stuff I think is even more hidden than we realize.
It is. And God's going to bring it out into the light, see.
And he already has started.
He has.
We've seen we've seen a lot of large ministries over the past few months that have been exposed, and it's sad. And I'm not look. I'm not one of those heresy hunters.
No.
Actually,
right,
I hate that whole thing, that heresy hunting. You know, because the heresy that you're hunting today, someone may be hunting your heresy tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
You know, so I'm not here to judge, but what I am judging is the fruit in the things that have come out as fact, and even self-admittedly in some of these ministries that there's been sin involved and different things, grimy stuff going on. And, you know, so God is already beginning that wave, but I believe that there's another wave coming, maybe even larger than before.
Oh. It's in God's heart and God's mind. He's getting ready to move. And the remnant that are in place and have allowed themselves to be positioned, he's getting ready for another move, you know? I mean, just take a look. It's not getting a second wind. It's actually getting a circumcised heart.
Wow.
And it's not about getting my second wind. It's my heart needs to be circumcised. My hands need to be clean. You know, you think about it. You think about, for those of us that have experienced genuine outpourings and moves of God, you know, some of the conversations go along the lines of, I don't understand, but, you know, there wasn't enough standing room in the beginning of those moves, and then it just waned, and, you know, my local people aren't turning up, you know, and they've got caught up in the busyness of life. It's not about rights and wrongs, but the cares of the world. You know, something is missing. And I believe that the major key to being ready is the secret place. It's that place of surrender. It's that place of intimacy, because you cannot get intimacy with God unless you allow him to deal with, let's call it sin,
yeah,
not a problem that you can't get past. Sin is sin, and we've got to own it. We've got to learn to confess sin, repent, and then give God permission to change and circumcise our heart and then cooperate with it.
You mean it's going to require?
Very good book about confession of sin and repentance just recently. Well worth a read.
What's it called?
I cannot remember what it's called, but it was on this whole area of confession of sin and repentance. It's his latest book.
Who was it?
Rodney
by?
Burton.
Rodney. Mm. Rodney Burton. Okay. Is that the... oh, man. Yeah, now I have to remember.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rodney.
Just brilliant. He addresses a very difficult subject very, very well.
And by the way, Rodney is not related to me. I'm just putting that out there. This is an ongoing joke within the circle of people that we run around with. If you saw Rodney, you would very well know that he is not related to me. I have a lot more hair than Rodney.
Yeah. One of the keys to unlocking what God wants to do is the prayer in the secret place. It is the key.
And that's the thing that everyone wants to run away from, because it actually requires something of them.
Yeah, it means you got to die to self.
Well, that stinks. You mean I can't have my cake and eat it too? Can't have my sin cake and eat it too? Wow.
We're living in some of the most exciting times, and I don't want to miss it. You know, it's like a surfer that has several surfboards, and he hears on the radio that there's this once in a lifetime set coming, and he prepares for that. And if he goes out there to try to ride that particular wave that's coming through, and he's on the wrong surfboard, he'll get smashed up against the rocks. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are unprepared. Now, they're still God's children, and they'll get a chance, even if they get smashed in the rocks and the surfboard breaks. But this is so important that we allow God to do whatever he wants in our lives, in our heart, dealing with attitudes, dealing with, judgments, the way we judge others, the way we judge other churches, all of that stuff, you know, and, you know, how you elasticize something, you know, here's the truth, but you elasticize that truth. You know, all of that stuff is an abomination to the Lord. And God,
you're talking about
right now, he's shaking it. That's part of getting ready, because you've got a golden opportunity. He's wanting to bring this massive move of God, more than what we've ever seen before in the history of the modern church. And the problem is, the people that were in the last move, they think they know how to do this, and they're the ones that are standing in the way, blocking what is coming. And when it comes, they're going to get smashed, mate. Absolutely smashed. It'll be those that have a teachable heart, that are open and have allowed God to circumcise their heart, have been willing to put right the things that they need to put right at whatever level, whether it's, you know, whatever relationship level it is, in order to be a part of what God's doing, not what man's doing, but what God is about to do.
Talk to me about the next 6 months and what you're seeing, particularly in the United States. It may be worldwide, but just kind of give me a synopsis. Take us through the next 6 months of what God's showing you.
I think that there's still quite a bit of shaking to come. And it's coming in various forms. I think there's going to be quite a bit of shaking in the financial sector, economy. And it's not the judgment of God. It's God shaking, you know, in Hebrews 12, he says, you know, he's getting ready to speak again, but he has to shake out that which can be shaken. And you've got to have your feet firmly and grounded in the rock, which is Jesus Christ, not grounded in your wealth or grounded in your ministry or grounded in your good relationships or whatever the case may be, or grounded in your comfort zones. God is shaking, and our feet have got to be firmly planted on the rock, and there is still quite a bit of shaking to come. It's not necessarily going to be another COVID or anything like that, but he loves his people. He loves his church. He loves his bride. And in order for the bride to get, you know, to actually be arrested by the call of God, if you like, he's got to get the bride's attention. He always uses shaking. He always uses trials. He always uses testing to get God's people's attention. And I think that there's more of that coming.
What would you say to the people that would be saying right now, because I can pretty much hear the comments, what would you say to people that would say, well, God would never hurt his people. God would never allow bad things to happen to his great people. You know, he loves his kids and all this kind of stuff. All the people that will be on the super positive side and say that God wouldn't allow those things to happen. What would you say?
I would say this. God is perfect in his judgment. He's perfect in every single way. As a Christian, I believe that the Word of God is the final say in everything we do. And you just got to read your Bible. You know, he's a God of judgment. He's a God of righteousness. He's a holy God. And, you know, we can't just go and do what we want to do, what feels good. There are consequences to the way we live. There are consequences to the way we relate. You know, God wants you and I to be holy. It doesn't come naturally.
right.
And God, you know, and one of the things that is often asked to me is, well, God's not a very loving God. You know, look at all the state of the world, and, you know, and my sister died, or my daughter died, or my, you know, son died, and stuff like that. Don't blame God for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, take personal responsibility. We reap what we sow. And somewhere in between that is the revelation of what we know and understand of God, and then the stuff that we don't understand. Somewhere in the middle is where we need to be, and it requires trust and faith. There's a lot of stuff that I don't understand about God, but I'll tell you this, I trust him. I trust him with my life, because he's the most perfect judge. He's most perfect in righteousness. He's most perfect in every aspect of life. He knows what he's doing, and I trust him, and he's a loving God. And I know that. You know, I don't understand why my daughter died, but I trust God, because he's perfect in every way. And he wants us to be ambassadors for him. He wants us to be Christ-like. And Christ-like means that we're going to have to go through a bit of refining fire. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that your faith is more precious than gold, and gold is refined in the fire. What makes you think that you will escape the refining process of God? If your cry is to be more like Christ, and that's my cry, as his son, I want to be the best ambassador for Christ that I can be. I want to be the most saltiest. I actually want God to live in me in a way that everybody knows when I walk down the street. And for me to come to that place requires me to go through the refiner's fire. It requires me to be tested, because my heart, if it's not tested, it's different. It's desperately wicked, you know. The flesh, you know, it's dying to self. The self, take up my cross daily and follow me. What's he talking about? He's talking about you and I being willing to be a living sacrifice. He doesn't stand there with a baseball bat. He's just asking you to surrender all.
What would you say to a pastor, a church leader out there right now that, you know, maybe they're saying to themselves, you know, I hear what he's saying, and I know what's right, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change that. How's my church going to change? What should I do right now? I want to see a move of God. What do they need to do?
The first place to start is your secret place. It's when you're at that place and you know that there is nothing you can do. You don't know what to do. God hears a genuine cry of the heart. And here's the promise. If you seek God with all your heart and all your soul, he will actually let you find him.
Wow.
He will let you. He wants you to find him. But you know, like quiet time, Bible study, it's not a duty. It's actually a relationship. He's after a relationship. He's not after me being able to accurately interpret the word of God. I'm not against that stuff. But first and foremost, he actually wants to know me. And if he wants to know me, then I have to be prepared to take all the walls down around my heart. And so I would say to that church leader, I begin to pray. Don't go in with a shopping list, but begin to cry out to the Lord and ask him to begin to change your heart so that you can carry the fullness of what he won on the cross. You know, I want my heart to be so clean. You know, when I look at some of the people like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, Brannon, some people will go like, you know, like this with Brannon, but before he went off the rails, man, that guy knew God, you know, and the moves of God, like Azusa Street and the kids playing in the glory. you know, the Welsh revival and stuff started to transform a nation. The crime rate was zero in some places, and the cops had nothing to do. You know, we've got to get back to that, but I can't get back to it. I keep back to it by starting to cry out to the Lord, asking him to come and heal my land. And the first land that he will heal will be your personal land.
Wow. Graham, how would someone get a hold of you in your ministry if they wanted to get a hold of you?
That's a good question. Probably the best way to do that would be email me, GrahamRenoff51@gmail.com. I'll answer any emails. You know, I get emails coming through. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And then I can get back in touch with you. Messenger, you could always friend me on Messenger and make contact Facebook. That way too, Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't have a web page. I'm working on it.
I was poking at you a little bit
on
that.
Yeah. And, I can't express enough the importance of relationship and coming into the secret place. You know, Psalm 91, the promises that are in Psalm 91 are conditional on learning to dwell in the secret place. Yeah. You can't name it and declare it and not be dwelling in the secret place. Good luck with that.
Come on. Now, wait a minute. Say that again. One more time.
You cannot name it and claim it and declare it. You know, there's a lot of I declare and decree going on at the moment, and it's got about as much power in it as a wet matchstick that won't light out of a matchbox. You know, you can't do that because you're not going to walk in it until you dwell in the secret place. I'm sorry, but you aren't.
There's no substance in it.
No.
Because there's no power. So if you're declaring and you're decreeing, and you're not walking with God, you're not walking in deep relationship with him and spending time with him, how can you know what to declare and what to decree?
You don't. You're just doing it by rote.
Let me make a connection for our Hebrew friends out there that like to study the Hebrew, because remember the time that we're in at the time of this recording is the year 5782. So, of course, this is the decade of the 80, which is the pay, the mouth, to declare, decree, and to speak things that are not as though they are. But we're in the year of the 2, which is a tent, the tent of meeting, habitation.
Oh, come on.
So you can look at this two different ways. You could look at it as, you know, speaking the things of God, creating a habitation or creating the, you know, a place where God can dwell. But you can also look at it as the other way, that if you aren't habitating, if you aren't in the tent of meeting, then you don't know what to speak. It takes spending time in the tent, in the bait, the letter bait there, which is the number 2. It takes spending time in the tent to be able to declare and decree the things of God.
Yep. And that habitation, he's not going to look. The best way to describe it is this, you know, is the picture of the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. You know, going in and out of the outer court, you know, wasn't too much of a big deal. You know, everybody could go in, take their cattle in and as it were, for sacrifices and stuff like that. But to go into the Holy of Holies, and that's where God lived. He lived between the cherubims on top of the Ark of the Covenant. We are the Ark of the Covenant now. We are the place where God wants to habitate and not just visit. I mean, look, when you become a child of God, there's always a measure of God in your life. but they're around, you know. Like the high priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, and they tied a rope to him and they had bells on the end of his garment. And if he was not right with God, he died. And, you know, let's not take this cheaply. You know, God wants to come and live amongst his people in such a way that the rest of the world want to come and inquire of the God that we serve and the God that we worship.
Yeah.
And if the church can get a hold of this, you know, there is an awesome opportunity for a move, a massive move of God through the nation. And for God to raise that nation back to the way he intended it. We need the United States of America to be who God created that nation to be. We need New Zealand to be risen up into the things that God has called us to be. And I can go on. There are key nations in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, the habitation, just think of it. You know, look, what about what happened in the Hebrides revival when God turned up? You know, the leaders came and got them in that last move. I think it was 1947, and got them to come to the marketplace, the square, the town center. And on the way, there were people on their faces crying out to a God they did not know, because God had come and lived amongst the people. And that was preceded by prayer, by the way. And this is the way that we get – I'm telling you, the nation of America, you need to come back to be in a house of prayer. You need to come back to knowing how to dwell in the secret place.
Amen. Powerful stuff. Graham Renoff from New Zealand, my great friend. Powerful prophetic ministry that he has. Again, if you want to contact him, and listen, let me tell you something. Do not contact him with ridiculous things. Please don't bother him with trying to challenge him on theology and things like that. You know, if you hear something, here's an idea. If you hear something you don't agree with, just put it on the shelf and let God deal with it instead of trying to heresy hunt and call people out on saying, Graham, sometimes I have people trying to call me out because I said the wrong word.
Oh, you know, yeah, I miss the focus is wrong. How are you going to get positioned for a move of God when you're behaving like that? I mean, come on.
Come on. Absolutely. So don't bother him with silliness. But if you have a legitimate, you know, prophetic word or something or confirmation that you want to share with him or question that would be helpful, you can contact him. What was your email address again?
Graham Renoff. That's GRAHAMRENOUF at Gmail. Oh, 51 at
gmail.com. At gmail.com. Yeah. All right. So you can contact him. Also, as always, make sure you check out our website for Groundbreaker International. It's gbreaker.org for all things Groundbreaker. And I want to encourage you today to sign up to become a ministry partner with us. Does it cost you anything? No, it doesn't have to, unless God speaks to you to give something financially to us. That's fine. You just need to be obedient to the word of the Lord, whatever that is. But I would like to encourage you to sign up for our newsletter and become a partner with us, because we want you to pray for us. We want to pray for you, and we want to share with you all of the things that God has given us as a ministry. It might be confirmation, you know, for some things in your life. So please, we would love for you to sign up. We'll send you a digital copy of our newsletter every month called Revival Times. And we've got articles in there. We've got testimonies. We've got news, revival news. We've got all kinds of different things. So you'll want to check that out and become a ministry partner. You can do that there on our website. Graham, it was great to have you with us. We'll probably have you back again sometime.
It was great being with you, Eric. Love it. Always love it.
I love you, man, and I appreciate you and everything that you've imparted into my life, into my dad, into the church that he pastors. And, you know, we could never thank you enough just for God sending you into our lives. We greatly appreciate you.
Yeah, well, we feel the same way. It goes two ways. You know, we're richer and more blessed because you guys are part of our lives. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for listening today, whether it be on YouTube or the Ground Attack podcast. Until next time, God bless you. God bless your family.
Bless you.
We'll see you again real soon.
Cheers.